In your Bibles tonight, we'll be starting in Exodus. We are taking communion tonight. We'll be going to a couple of different places, but we're going to be starting in Exodus chapter 24. Chapter 24, communion is something that we do, and that it always excites me because it's one of my earliest memories when I was a Christian, when I was a child. And it was the first thing I thought, that it's the first thing I remember actually thinking about at church. I was at church since I was born. I don't remember much of it for years and years until I was probably about four. And we were in church and we were having communion, or my parents were having communion. I was not. I was sitting there and I saw everyone else eating and drinking. And I'm sitting there, a four-year-old, going, oh, yeah, it's time to snack. What do we got? And I said, Mum, me too, me too. She said, no, you can't. Why can't I? Why can't I have the grape juice and the bread? I'm here. I've been sitting here. I've been quiet-ish. I should be allowed to have what everyone else is having. And my mum said to me, you're not a Christian. You can't have this. And that's the first time I actually realized I'm not a Christian. I have been coming to church with my parents all my life. But it's not my parents that make me a Christian, is it? It's me. I have to make the decision. And if I don't make the decision, I'm not a Christian. And so my parents were wonderful people, and they were Christians. Doesn't matter how good my parents were, if I didn't think about it and decide for myself, I wasn't going to heaven. And that's the first thing that made me start thinking about salvation for myself. Kind of brought me around a little bit. And I remember talking to my mum. I was upset because I was hungry. And I said, why? I want to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. I've been in Sunday school. I know my memory verses. I color inside the lines. Ish. Once again, ish. I still don't do that very well. And she sat and she talked to me. And it took a little while. It probably took months and months for me to realize I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Even though I've been in church all my life, I'm the dirty, rotten sinner that Jesus died for. And when I realized that, I remember talking to my mum and sitting on the couch and praying with her. And like Grandpa was saying, Pastor was saying, can I say Grandpa? I can say Grandpa. Like Grandpa was saying this morning, it wasn't a fire and brimstone thing that brought me to Christ. It was my mother gently asking the right questions. And I don't respond well when people yell at me. I remember Chris Hustler was in the church and he would yell. And I would sit there thinking, why is this guy so mad at me? I haven't done anything. When people yell at me, I clam up. And I get harder. I'm like, push me, I'll push you back. But when someone talks softly, when someone talks gently, like Grandpa was saying this morning, I let them in just a little bit and then a little bit more. So if you yell at me, don't expect a great response, is what I'm saying. But like Grandpa was saying this morning, speaking with love and kindness is what got to me as a child. I still need to be yelled at now and then. That's besides the point. We're in Exodus. A little bit off topic already. That's great. Great start. Okay, Exodus chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Let's just pray before we get too far. Dear Father, we want to thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you that we can be here tonight, fellowship with each other, Lord, and remember what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me guide my words. Let me say the things that you want, and Lord, just leave the things out that you don't want me to say. Lord, help us tonight. Keep distractions away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So the Bible's split up into two main big sections. And all the Sunday school kids should know this as well. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. Good work, Noah. I heard you from here. That was good. Yeah, it was. Okay. Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament is before Jesus. Before Jesus came, people were still sinners. People still did bad stuff, didn't they? People would still kill other people and lie and steal things. And in the New Testament, people still do that as well. But in the Old Testament, there was an old covenant between God, we see here, and the people of Israel. And we have a look in verse 8. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." So we see here that there was blood involved in this covenant. There was blood involved. A covenant, another word for a covenant is a contract or an agreement. When you have a covenant with somebody, it's an agreement. You shake hands or something else. When I was in primary school, the big thing to do was to be blood brothers. You might not have done that. It was pretty gross even for us at the time. If you had a cut and they had a cut, you shake hands with the cuts and you're blood brothers. That was a covenant. You and him, I remember one guy, his name was Josh Taylor. He's still my blood brother. No idea where he is. I haven't talked to him since about grade 6. But he's my blood brother. We made a covenant. I remember the day. We got cuts in our hands, not on purpose. There was no self-mutilation. But a blood brother, we made an agreement. We made a pact. It was sealed in blood, very strangely. But we were primary schoolers. But we see here that Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. He made a covenant. God made a covenant. He made a testament. It's another way we can say it, with the people of Israel. And God used blood. I love that all the way through the Bible, I think Grandpa says there's a crimson cord, that the blood is a theme all the way through the Bible. And blood is icky. Blood is not something we like to talk about. Blood makes people faint. These days especially, we don't talk about the blood much, the blood of Jesus. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from our sins. We need to remember that. Just because the world thinks something's gross doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. The things like the blood of Jesus are so important for us, for our faith. It's a basic thing, and I think I'll talk a little bit about it later on, but we as Christians these days, we get off track from the basics, from the main thing. We'll get to that in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead. But in the Old Testament, God told them to use sacrifices. They would sacrifice sheep, they would sacrifice lambs with no blemish, and that would cover their sins. Did it forgive their sins? No, it didn't forgive their sins, but it covered them. And they were looking forward to a promise of someone coming who would be able to forgive their sins, a Messiah. And all through the Old Testament, we see blood sacrifices. I love the Old Testament because it almost, in my mind, is a simpler time. It's a simpler time because God said, "Do this," and they did it. And there was no arguing. And God said, "Sacrifice," said to Abraham, "Sacrifice your son." There was no questions. He just did it. Nearly did it. And we see that God said the same thing here. Sacrifice things, and Moses is taking the blood and sprinkling it on the people. This is the Old Testament. This is the old agreement that God had with the people of Israel, with the people who believed in him in the Old Testament. Now we're going to flick over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 17. There's a little bit of a longer passage. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So if we look in verse 28, Jesus says, This is my blood of the New Testament. This is a new agreement. No longer are you stuck under the old laws. You don't have to sacrifice sheep anymore. There's one more sacrifice, and that's it. One more sacrifice for the sins of the whole world forever. Jesus is saying here, this is it. This is the new covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus himself. Now, in the Old Testament, they talked about sheep. They had to have a special kind of sheep, type of lamb, that the only ones they could sacrifice had to be perfect, had to have no sicknesses, no broken legs. It had to be a perfect lamb. And we see here that Jesus offers himself as the perfect lamb for the last blood sacrifice man would ever need. And instead of just covering our sins, they were going to be washed away. We didn't have to worry about our sins just being covered over. Do you know, sometimes when I was little, my mum would tell me to clean my room. I was bad. I was bad at cleaning my room. Still bad at cleaning my room. Ask Abby. What I used to do, I would grab all the stuff on my bed and it would go in the cupboard. Door would close. It's clean. It's clean, Mum. It's clean. But she comes in and she opens the cupboard and there's an avalanche of socks. Avalanche of socks. And I would get buried in it. And my mum would dig me out and go, now do it properly. Put them away. Don't just cover it up. Put them away. And that's what Jesus did with our sins. He didn't just cover them up. He put them away. We don't have to worry about them ever again if we're saved. When we enter into this new covenant, this new testament, which Jesus is offering here. Now, I have just entered into a new covenant just 1 month ago exactly. I entered into a new agreement. I remember signing my name many times at a little table. And it's a new stage of life. It's a new era. I don't know what's going to happen. I know it's going to be amazing. I'm saying that because she's sitting here. It's a new stage of life and it's got new opportunities. So many new opportunities that I didn't even think about. For instance, like Abby was saying, she can meet people in Herberton. I work 8 to 5, 5 days a week. When I go home, no shops are open. The postie's already been. I don't see anybody in Herberton. I drive from work to my house. But Abby has already met the postman, the postwoman, people in the shops, neighbors, just people down the street. Exactly, street. And there's so many new opportunities because of this new covenant that we've entered into. There's new challenges as well, just like there is with this. When we become a Christian, so many new opportunities, so many new challenges. You never had to worry about, I was too young when I was saved, but so many people, they're saved later in life, and all of a sudden they think, my workmates, I have to do the right thing in front of them. It was never a problem before. That's a new challenge. And I still have that, but I never had a time before that I didn't have to worry about that. My workmates are tenacious, and they want me to do things and look at things and drink things, and they ask me every Friday afternoon. And I've been praying about it, and it's a blessing. I was going to say this before, but my work has things on the walls that it shouldn't have. I came back after the Christmas break. I'd been cleaning before the Christmas break. I went away and got married, and I came back, and the cleaning bug had been caught by my workmates. And there was new shelves on the walls, and the floor had been swept, and all the pictures were gone. And they're in the bin. And I can't confirm or deny how they got in the bin, but they're in the bin. But they were off the walls when I got back, and God answered my prayers. And that's a new challenge that I never had really before this workplace. But my workmates love to test and poke and poke. And when they buy alcohol, it comes in packs of four, the stuff they buy. And they say, look, there's four of us. There's me, you, him, and him. If you don't drink one, there's one left. And then we have to fight over it. If you want to be a good workmate, drink the last one. It's going to make it easier for the rest of the week. And every week I go, guys, you know I'm not going to do that. And so they argue about it. But every week, I have to tell them again, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to drink the alcohol with you. And you know, they're not asking me now. They got lots of it and they're just not asking me. They go, do you want, you're not going to want one. I'm like, that's right, I'm not going to want one. And it's getting there. But it's a new, the Christian life is a whole new experience from anything we've had before. And through Jesus' death on the cross, he's given us an opportunity to join into this new testament. Like it says in verse 28, the blood of the New Testament. We're here today because something changed, something massive changed. We're here because Jesus didn't just die, because he rose again. We don't have to sacrifice a sheep every time we come to church. Jesus sacrificed once, and that's all we need for the rest of our lives. He gave us a massive opportunity a little bit later on in Matthew. We probably won't go there tonight when he's actually crucified. We so often glaze over what Jesus went through the night before he died. And when Jesus is talking in verse 28 about the blood of the New Testament, his blood was shed. It was really shed. He didn't just die. He lost his blood for us. He didn't. There are so many ways that they could have killed him. Most people that died on a cross didn't die from bleeding. They died from strangulation. Most of them were not nailed. Most of them were tied. Jesus was in a different case. He bled. He bled for our sins, literally. And the pain he went through, I'm going to cry if I talk about it too much, but when I think about what he went through for us, for me, for the things that I did, even after I was saved, especially after I was saved, because I was saved at such a young age, the things that I did after I was saved is so much worse than the things I did before. And Jesus has still saved me from them. He's still forgiven those sins. And he saved me at a young age, and there's really only the two options we have. When Jesus died, he gave the whole world two options. Let's go to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to read a couple verses near the end. Verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." First verse says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." That's two things. That's two things we can't avoid. There's a saying in the world, you can't avoid death or taxes, which is kind of true, but you also can't avoid death and judgment. Both of them are coming. It says in this verse, "It is appointed unto men once to die." We all have an appointment. Don't know when it is. Only God knows when it is. For some of us, it might be tonight. It might be next week. It might be while we're driving to work in a year. It might be when we're old and gray, laying in our beds. But we have an appointment that's already set. We can't avoid this appointment. And after that, the judgment. But then, verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." We don't have to bear our own sins. Christ will bear our sins. And Christ's, because of Christ's sacrifice, we can accept it in place of our own. We don't have to spend an eternity in hell. But we can. It's definitely an option. And if you don't do anything, that's the default option. There's no, you get born, you go straight to heaven. If you get born, your default option is you're going to hell. That's just how it is. And we forget that. We forget that everyone around us, all of my workmates, their default position is they're going to hell. The people I see that I serve every day at work, and they come into the shop or I go to their house, every single one of them is going one of these two places. And by default, if no Christian says anything, they're going to hell. By default, everyone we know is going to hell. It's something I need to think about and sober myself up, because I like to joke around. But then I think about these verses, and I think about my workmates, and I think about the things they're going to be judged for, and I think I can do something about that. We can do something about our friends going to hell and our relatives going to hell. We need to be talking to them about what Jesus did back in Matthew. Let's not go back to Matthew. Let's go to Luke. Luke 22. Now, we are having communion tonight. We're having the Lord's Supper, which is a time to remember what Jesus did. It's what Jesus said. If we look in Luke 22, in verse 19, it says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." What we're doing tonight is to remember. It's to sober ourselves up and reset ourselves and go, why are we here? We're not here to fill a seat on a pew. We're not here to make a wage and die. We're here to remind people of what Jesus did. And it's something that I need to remind myself of every single day, because it's hard and it's uncomfortable to think about. And we need to remember what Jesus did and get things right in our own hearts before we can get things right with other people. I was talking to the kids this morning about our relationship with other people in Sunday school, and we need to make sure our relationship with God is right. And that's what tonight is about, making sure we're right with God, that we don't have any sin lurking in our hearts, that we don't harbor bitterness to anybody. We need to make sure we're right with God before we take the Lord's Supper. And we need to make sure, there's a verse that's been convicting me for a few weeks, that says, "Wherefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It's not just about following the Ten Commandments anymore. It's about if you see something that you should be doing, that's the right thing to do, and you don't do it, that's a sin. It's not just doing bad things anymore. It's not doing good things. If you don't do good things, that's a sin. And we forget these kind of things, and we need to remember, as Christians, it's so easy to get distracted in this day and age. Keep the main thing the main thing. There are so many different branches of churches around the world with slightly different ideas and different versions of Bibles and different... We get distracted. I get distracted. We need to remember the main thing. The main thing, why we're here tonight. We're not here tonight because our song service is better than somebody else's, or because we're more conservatively dressed, or because I wear a tie when I'm preaching. We're here tonight because of John 3:16. We're here tonight because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that word, whosoever. It means everybody. It means me. It means my dirty, rotten boss who swears and drinks and does all kinds of terrible things. It means him. It means our neighbors. It means our relatives. Whosoever. There's no one that's excluded. Nobody's excluded from that. God will save anybody. And we get so distracted with keeping things that aren't the main thing, our main thing. People get distracted by prophecy. When is God coming back? What does this mean in the Bible? Numerology, things like that. And they get so excited about finding numbers in the Bible and it must mean something special. They forget the main thing. The main thing is Jesus died for you. He died for you and he rose again. And that's why we're here. We're going to do communion tonight. I'm going to just go straight into it. I haven't done communion before, so we're just going to kind of see how it flows. So tonight, as we're preparing to do communion, I want us to think about, and we'll probably have a few minutes of silence, we can pray and get things right with God, because if we're not right with God, we can't be right with other people. And if we're not right with other people, we can't win them for God. And if we can't win them for God, why are we here? We need to really be slapping ourselves in the face a little bit and going, what am I doing? What am I doing right now? I have hours and hours every day I sit in a van, sometimes with a workmate, sometimes without, not doing anything, just driving from one job to another. Perfect time to talk. And sometimes I do, but I don't enough. And I need to slap myself in the face and go, what am I doing? This is time God has given me. It's only for talking. There's nothing else we can do. I can't drive for him. We can't really listen to music in case the phones go off. This is time God has given me to witness. And if we think about it, there is opportunities God has given every single one of us to witness to people that we know. Moments of silence, moments where there's nothing going on, where you're just sitting waiting for something, where you're driving somewhere. Tonight I want us to think and pray, get things right with God. There are things we need to confess. There are probably things I need to confess. Bad attitudes, missed opportunities, because that's a sin. I knew to do good and I didn't do it. That's a sin.